פרק ד' משנה י' בייז. רבי מאיר אומר, רבי מאיר זה one of the main תלמידים, one of the big תלמידים of רבי עקיבא, רבי שמואל. רבי מאיר was, the more it says, the halacha is not usually Rebbe Meir, because the Chaverim were not able to be Yoyed L'Soyf Daitai. He was so beyond, that he's probably right, he's beyond everybody else, but we still don't pass him like him. Because, L'Avi Shemayimi, they have to understand. And if it's any other sort of diet, we can't pass in that way. So there, if we have some difficulty understanding his dvorim, it's probably preferable. Then we're probably more on track. Because if it's like simple, anybody could say kind of thing. So it's not exactly the right person. So we're expecting something here very difficult. And one of the first difficulties of the Mishnah is because when you first read the Mishnah, it really doesn't seem quite so difficult. It's just very, it's really very repetitious. This Mishnah is a combination of 70 other Mishnayos that could, you could say there's 50 other different ways. And it's not quite sure what Rav Meir had in mind here. What exactly does he want to say? So let's read the words at least and see if we can have an understanding at least what the problems are. Rav Meir Omer.
Statement number one, that a person should minimize his involvement in business, in panasa, their chetz. Vasoik b'toyer, a person should be involved in learning of Torah.
Any startup mashgiach could say that.
He continues, statement number two. Ve'evi shfar ruach b'fnei kol ha'adam.
That's something on the lines of don't be a valgaiva kind of thing. Heard that before.
Vim betalta min ha'Torah, yesh lecha betalim harbe kenegdocha. If a person is mevatel Torah, so there's a lot of betalim that are going to come against him. Either there are things you thought you were an oinus because you have these things that you mevatel Torah. Why? Because X, Y, Z. You didn't X, Y, Z, Peseda. They'll send you some more. There's all A, B, C there. They'll send you. You want not to learn. You need excuses. Gives you a lot of it.
This is a very funny sandwich we had here. We started with having a right basic asuk b'toyah. It's talking about being involved in the Torah. Then heavy shuffle ruach of nekol aldon. And then in betaltum in the Torah, we get back to Torah. So we have two slices of bread of Torah in the, and don't be a balgaiv in the middle for the cream cheese or something. Not quite sure. What's it doing there? What's it doing?
Which sentence? You're not sure which one.
Ve'evi shofel ruach b'nei kol olam. What's it doing there? You want to talk about Torah? Talk about Torah from the beginning to the end. You want to talk about Gaiva? Talk about Gaiva.
Don't be about Gaiva because you're going to tell it to the year.
I succeeded. Alright. That's a good approach. It's one of the possibilities. It's to be found in the fortune. Yeah. But we'd like to sever the kasha first a little bit. Hear a claw that says there's something. Let's not jump to the terutzim. You don't gain the full toilets for the kasha if you jump to the terutzim. Right? You have to hear that there's a very funny seder here. It's a mission that starts with Torah, ends with Torah. A lechora, very unspecific, unspecial statement about don't be a balgaiva that any old person could say.
Tov. Let's see the end of the Mishnah. Metaltim in a Torah yesh lecha b'teil mahar viki negdecha. That's on the negative. If you're malta b'teil, if you were the bad boy, so you get the bad boy punishment, yesh lecha b'teil mahar. If you're the good boy, malta b'teil, do what's right, yesh lecha sahar b'litim lecha. That's big. Tell now, we didn't know that you have sahar.
This world,
you saw, what does it say, this world? So you want to put the schar of this Mishnah, the schar harve, in this world? Yeah, that's better. But just like on the same, no way.
That's another Mishnah for that.
No.
What's your concept of batala?
Could have stayed home. Yeah. That's great. Cool. It's like the good old days. Hold it. I have no idea what it means. Great. Yeah, me neither. Why? Ain't my.
Introduction to Yiddishkeit properly type books. This mission.
Yeah.
Well, I saw. I used tiny couple of little
catchphrases.
Yeah.
This is what
they start with Esek Bator, and Esek Bator is named up with the Tala and the Mavis.
Good. That's a good point. What's the difference?
Yeah, me, I'm just always pie him on.
One thing I don't understand. Oh, maybe it's one. I'm a spoken.
Maybe you explain maybe one thing supposed you do understand.
I don't know. Something catches my eye.
Yeah.
It says be occupied with Torah. So I have to talk about it, minimizing business activities. It's supposed to be occupied with Torah, so that's what I'm supposed to do. What's minimizing? What's the opening that she'd be involved in business activities, the cloud that I have to minimize it? I'm supposed to be occupied with Torah.
Tough.
That sounds like another...
You have to make a promise.
There are a lot of people who occupy the Torah and they don't make anything. Kodesh Baruch Hu provides it for us, and Gemanu, they don't occupy it with anything outside of their Torah.
Oh, Esek B'Torah actually is going to be going on your work, you know? No, I mean, there's that, you don't do Esek in your thing, and Esek and Torah is a bracha that goes on your whole day, that your whole day is Esek and Torah, the roots of everything is for Torah. There's two brachas over the Torah, one is Esek B'Torah, and one is someone else. Extra mental.
Don't you know that already?
I didn't hear any good questions. Let's have some more questions.
My basic. One second. Let's see. That's usually good. I mean, you don't understand anything. It's very good to go back word by word and see if you can translate. Let's get some definitions. So let's just like go down. I think we can take that face value. That's the introduction to tell us. Know who's speaking and take it with proper respect. Yeah. Otherwise, you can just read over this, and it's saying that you know, don't get over involved in business, and you should be involved in Torah, and you shouldn't be a balgaiver. And even about Torah, that you're not allowed Torah, and if you learn Torah, then it's going to be good. And you go out the next minute. You can read it that way. So that's why it starts every mail, and then you can't read it that way anymore. That's just not sufficient, doesn't it? Tov, mimayit beesik. heavy mimayit be'esek. A person should minimize his involvement in business. So the Ben Yoina gives as a comparable statement, Shatase melechtecha arai v'toyoscha kva. That's equivalent to every mind basic was like to you.
Both sides, right.
This is another way of saying the same thing.
No.
But there's always a major problem when you have something like this. Ben Yoina comes along, and you have a Mishnah, and he says, you know what this Mishnah is the other Mishnah. So now you have a problem. If it's the same Mishnah, so then we could have made Pirkei Avos a little shorter, and we'd get one tape less. It seems pretty long, just as it is. Like, if it'd be a little shorter, like, you know. You have to say, in other words.
It doesn't mean that this sentence belongs in the Mishnah.
Well, maybe just, if everything that's said here is said there, anything that's said there is said here, so then they're saying the same thing, then you have to say it twice.
So the one is saying that this is the other Mishnah, doesn't it? Oh, it's the same point, just rehashing it.
But what does it mean?
That means that this sentence was supposed to be attached to the previous Mishnah.
I don't know if it's supposed to be attached. The Mishnah is supposed to be there. It's supposed to be there. But what he's saying is that there's a parallel here. I mean, if you want to know what the subject matter is, if you want to get plugged in, where are you on the map? You're in that Mishnah territory. But that Mishnah must be saying something, and this Mishnah must be saying something. So if you say things that are too separately, too much different, then you get into trouble. Then why did the Rabbeinu Yonah tell you not the way you compared them? And if you're not, if there's not any difference, then who needs to? One of them going to know. So you have to find something in the middle there, something that you need to, but it's parallel, it's along the same lines, same basic concept. Another aspect, another depth, another Mishnah, another Mandarim, another Meir, a Tana coming to enlighten us on this subject, that just saying Shetase Malachta Arai with Hoskukva wouldn't give you the whole idea. The Meir now is giving us the same idea, but with a different depth, with a different outlook, with something more, something added. So it gave us certain parameters that we have to work within. Still don't know what he's talking about, but at least we know what the subject matter is. We know where we all do.
It doesn't say the opposite. It doesn't say
my
basic and
my excellent. I was just going to say that. Excellent. Very good. Very good. In that Mishnah, the words are as you would expect them to be. There is arai and kfa, and kinereya, you can't be kava in two things. You gotta choose. If you're involved in two things, one has to be kva, one has to be arai. And the Mishnah is telling you, do this arai or this kva. That's the basic shot in that Mishnah. There is other mahalcha in that Mishnah. There is a possibility to say that a person can be a rai in 10 different things. That's certainly true. Right? That's certainly true. That person could be a rai in 10 different things. But there are those who want to say that there's a possibility under very extreme circumstances a person could be kiva in 2 different things also. And the Mishnah is telling you 2 separate individual statements. Asik has to be a rai and not kiva. Not because the kva has to be for Torah, because Esek has to be a rai. And Torah has to be kva and not a rai. Not because that you shouldn't be involved in business kva, but because Torah needs to be kva and not a rai. We'll say that. But b'chol oifen, at least we have balance over there. Things are very clear. Right? There's an approach called a rai, and there's an approach called kva. And you're telling you that Esek, this is for sure in any pshat, Asik, the proper approach to Asik is the Arai there. It's like a sukkah, right? Sukkah. Dear Sarai, something that Teishu Ke'en Tuduru, but like, now we got confused. There's Sarai. You bring out your furniture, you bring out maybe, so I've seen people take the pictures off the wall in the living room hanging in the sukkah. Yeah. Bring in Kalim Noim, very nice. Right? but anybody would come in from the outside and want to get confused. Which one's the sukkah and which one's the house? I don't think it's happened in the last 3,000 years. Arai is arai and kva is kva. So the proper approach, how does panosa look? How does asik look? Look, melachtecha is arai. And toros kva? Toros kva. This is I think we spoke about it then. I don't remember. You have to ask the tapes. But there's a special concept in Torah, which is a chiyuv on anybody, regardless of how much time he has for limud Torah. Everybody has to have Torah skukva. You have to have kiveya itim the Torah. It's one of the questions that you get on the first checklist when you get upstairs. This is a kavata itim the Torah. You don't get a check there, situation not good. You got to have kavata itim the Torah. Then ask, did you learn Torah? Were you kiveya itim the Torah? Okay. In order for Torah to have the effect that is an absolute necessity, it's got to be kva. So that's that Mishnah. We're not going to go too much into Arai and Kva because we hope that we discussed it then. But just to hear that that's a subject, and here we're talking about a similar subject, along the same lines, so we're talking about a slightly different aspect. Right, let's see if we can concentrate more on what our Mishnah says. Our Mishnah says, "Have you ma'it be'esek v'asok b'tayr?" What would you say is the difference between being malachtecha rai and ma'it be'esek? So I would say that there's a very big difference between them. They have a tzadah shava, and that's why the binyan compares them. But it's a different point. The tzadah shava, let's start with the easy side. Right? The tzadah shava is that it's a secondary approach. Arai is secondary, and being mamai is a secondary. The person has never mamai done his number one, the number one thing in his hierarchy, the most important thing for him. I think the central point of his life, you never mayat on, and it won't be arai. So the tzad hashava that we get from putting the two missions together is that don't be a plumber, dentist, or fill in the blank, right? Don't have that identify. Can't have the central point. A person don't have that as the central point, the essence of your life. I am a plumber. I am a this. Don't take something that was meant to be a means and make it the ends. Parnosa, in its highest form, in its most beseder form, the way it's both supposed to be, will most glorified form, will not be the ends. It can be an extremely positive means, but it's never allowed to be made an end. And this, in fact, is taka, the very common nisoyin. Very common nisoyin. It has absolutely nothing to do with a person's financial situation. We learned before, Ani Mashiach, we spoke about that subject, but a person feeling money, parnosa, essential to his life, could be because he doesn't have his parnosa. It could be because he has his parnosa, but he has to work for his parnosa. And it could be because he's an usher. An usher, I never was there, so I'm not sure exactly how it worked. But, you know, we think, well, if we would have panosa, boy, if our panosa would be in the bank and just a check would come in and we would have to think about it for a while. So, like, we would erase that from our considerations. It would be like something we wouldn't think about anymore. But it seems it's not that way. It seems that the reverse, the sign of an usher not to make money central to his identity is harder than it is for an ani or for a regular person. We spoke about it in an earlier Mishnah. There are three types of people. There's aniyim, that means they don't have their panosa so easily. There's ashirim, that means that they have more than the panosa. The panosa is taken for granted. And then there's the regular person that he has his panosa through his work, but it's not to be taken for granted. He has it
Maisa, but it's b'chalal not taken for granted. In any of the three possibilities, in each one for his own reason, there is a very big nesoyin of making panosa central most. Even a person who's kaver yitim l'toyah, who's learning koil all day long, it's possible to fall into this trap. And to be so involved with how he's going to cover the overdraft and the gemachim and the, all kinds of different things, that when he doesn't need to look for a gemach, he learns. But his central activity, at least as far as what concerns him, what does he carry around with him, what does he wake up with, what does he go to sleep with, what does he think about, what is it? It's possible that this can become, even for somebody who officially is full-time, not in panasa, it can, this is a very, very dangerous, it can overtake a person. And money, they say, is a sticky substance. And that has two forms. One is chas v'shalom gezel form. That's not what we're talking about right now. Right? But the other form of sticky is that it likes to take a role that it doesn't deserve. It likes to get right there in the center of things and take over central point. Money, that's what counts. Panosa, call it what you want.
The real world.
What?
The real world.
Tachlis. You ever hear that one? Tachlis. They don't even, you know, it's amazing how you can say, right? Shtiyot, and not bayish. You take something that is, by its essence definition, not tachlis, right? And say, without shedding, you know, without shaking an eye, nothing, you know, what's going to be with tachlis? What do you mean tachlis? Money? Money is tachlis? The definition of money. The definition of money. Right? Pre-1A economics. The definition of money is something you pick up somewhere between nursery school and kindergarten. Is that money is something that gives you the possibility to buy things, to do things. It's only a possibility. That's all it is. You can't eat it. You can't sleep it. You can't do nothing. But money is a big liar. It is only a means. That's all it is. It is the essence of means. Money is a means. That's its essence. But it's a big liar. It comes and tells you that all of the ends, even lower ends of the world, not the tachlis, kol tachlesim, a few low-level tachlesim, oilu mazeh tachlesim, which it is only a means to, it'll come and tell you money is the ends. For example, there can be a person could have a need. Every person has such a need. The need itself is kosher. Right? A need for bitochon. What do they call it? And financial security. Comes along your checkbook. Depends maybe whose checkbook, but comes on the checkbook, comes on the bank account and says, I have security. If you have X, Y, Z, and then there's little discussions about how much X, Y, and Z is in order to, really money will give it to you. If it didn't give it to you, it's because you don't have enough. So work harder, run after it, do, correct yourself, right? You have to have security. But when you'll have, whatever the number is, right, you will have security. That is a lie. It's simply a lie. It's a sheker. It's a non-truth. It is a distortion of reality. Right? Money is not security. It doesn't have any security in it. Take it apart. Rip it out. Dissect it. Look at them to its essence. In every way, there is not one iota of security in it. It doesn't even have it. It's not that it's not enough. It's not security. It doesn't have it, never will. What? No, it's a means. It's a means.
So say, use the money and you buy a house. Yeah. Let's say the person considers money not the green stuff, but even the things that he's used. He wants the house. He doesn't care about the green stuff. He cares about the house.
What's it? The house is a different story. You're talking about needs. If a person doesn't have his needs, a person does have his needs, when he won't have his needs, he'll feel missing. And when he has his needs, he'll feel good. That's true. A person needs a house. A person needs clothes. A person needs food. A person needs all of his needs. All of his needs is called panasa. So, when a person, vaday, money, right, will take a person from an ani to being a person of an old person. And being an ani is difficult in studying. Tani lechem chuki is a very positive thing. Yaakov Avinu got involved when he spoke to the Rabbeinu Shlom, a big day. Right? He wasn't misbayish. He spoke tachlis. Okay. What's tachlis? Yeah. Echanami vaday. Lechem lechol. Beggar little boyish. My needs. Vaday, it's not that it's not important. Nobody said it's not important. Means are very important. Didn't say it's not important. Anybody said it's not important? But he said, but don't lie what your importance is. You want to say that you are secure. You money. You are security. You security. Because your bank account says plus X is a zero and a couple some zeros over there. So that's security.
Isn't that tax issue more important than means?
Yeah. Tachlis is always more important. So when a means lies to be tahachlis, it has to be put back in its place. Panosa, money, has this stickiness, it has this lie quality to it, that it demands to be what it isn't. It comes and presents itself to a person in a very powerful way. I offer you the world. If you have me, you go after me. If you make me tahachlis, you crown me the central point of your interests, I will give you security. There are even more ridiculous lies, more further lies. I will give you happiness. It's not an iota of happiness in money. In the money itself. Yes, it's true. You can buy things, you can do things. There are things that you can do, and those things can bring you happiness. But the money itself is only a means. It is a means to security. It is a means to happiness to a certain level. But if you get a man-to-man talk with your money, and he comes and he tells you, money. Mr. Money comes and he says, money, happiness. Money, happiness? Liar. Money doesn't have happiness. I can be happy without you, and I can be not happy with you. You're not happiness. If I'll use you right, I can use you as one of the many means to happinesses. You're not even the main one. You don't even get on the top 10 list. You want to tell me you are happiness itself? Shocking. You're lying. So it has to constantly be put back in its place. It's like, all these naughty kids that you have to keep an eye on, and you have to keep keeping them. This is an evil kid. We don't, Baruch Hashem, we don't have those types. But there are such things in the world as evil kids. The kids that were born for some obey of their parents, really bad. Not difficult. Difficult is not evil. But there are some that are evil. Baruch Hashem, you usually don't have them. They're usually found by going. But it could happen. What? Yeah, David Melch had one. Like a bad kid. Evil kid. An evil kid has to be shown all the time. It has to be until maybe lots you can stop him from being evil and treat him to be good. I don't know. Nobody should ever label a kid evil. 99.9% of the time he'll be wrong. And he will be an evil parent if he does. But I'm just saying, just giving you money. Money is the evil kid. He's the bad guy. He's a bad guy. He's a liar. If you don't watch him, he'll steal. He'll steal your essence. He'll steal your identity. He will steal the central point of your life. So the Mishnah, in these two Mishnayos, is telling us how to take the training rod and to, on a daily basis, give Panos a little bash on the head. Just not to hurt it or anything, just to keep it in line.
It's like, you know, a horse, you know, once you have him well trained, you don't have to beat him up. A little tap there. But like all the time, just keep him on the straight course. Keep him going where you want, not where he wants. Give him the little tap there. So panasa, this Isaac, if you don't pay attention, if you forget about it for a while, it can sneak up and take over your life. So the two forms. So you have two forms. Right now we're talking. The idea of taking ends and turning into a means is one of the central forms of evil in the world, and it can apply itself to a million things. Right, that's taiva. Taiva is a tremendously positive thing if it's used as a means to its proper ends. It's a terribly damaging, destructive force if it becomes an ends in its own. Any means that was meant to be a means and turned into an end, right? That's the end. Right? That's bad news. It's one of the basic forms, one of the worst mistakes, one of the most basic. There are a couple of them, but this is one of the top forms of evil in the world. Right? And one of the high candidates for this type of evil behavior, of misidentifying itself as an end when it's only a means, is money, is panasa. So we have the two Mishnahs that teach us how to avoid this problem. The first Mishnah says it to us straight, doesn't tell us what to do. Well, it does tell us what to do, but it gives us the idea, right? It has to be arai. Right? Arai. Something arai is not tachlis. Something arai is arai. Something that's going to be arai is something that your involvement on your way to. Why is it arai? Because Agavuch, on the way to Tachlis, so you go down the means. Right. Person's in Yerushalayim, he wants to get to Tel Aviv. Tachlis is Tel Aviv. Right. 98% of the trip, he's not in Yerushalayim or in Tel Aviv. He's on the road. Right. But the road is only a means to getting there. Tachlis is there. Right. So his whole involvement in the road is going to be all right, even if it's massive part of the time that we're talking about. But his approach to it, the road itself, is all right. Right now I'm on the road. Right? I am going to. So his whole approach to the trip is I'm not where I am. I'm in travel. I'm just getting there. I'm going down the path. That's all right. That's what all right means. All right means I'm not at where I am. I am going. That's called putting something. That's means, not ends. And our Mishnah of Meir tells you that in order to keep it a right, to keep it a means, not an ends, right, you gotta bop it on the head a little. Memayit. Memayit from what? Memayit from what? In other words, let us say that a person has to cheshbon out, whether you're talking about time or efforts or koiches or whatever cheshbon you're making, how much he rightfully klapish mayagaya, right? How much should he be involved? Right? And let's say he comes up with a certain right conclusions. Right? He needs 4 hours a day. He needs 7 hours a day. Right? There are 7 hour days. That's right. Let's assume for a moment that's the case. 3 hours a day. Each person according to the situation. Right? That's right. Right? Take off a half hour. Maybe 10 minutes is enough. The point is not the amount of time. You're not looking to jip him. You're looking just to tap him on the head and put him in his place. So you're not the boss. You're not the iker. Right? You're not going to tell me what to do. I'm going to tell you what to do. Right? You're my slave. I'm not your slave. You work for me. I don't work for you. This is a very big yisoid that Rishayim teaches to us in many places. That there are many things that can take control of you. And in order for the powerful forces that can take control of a person, and a person, in order to take control of them, just to show them who's boss, you can do it with 1%. Right? You can do it with 1%. You don't have to go fight 50-50. You know? You have to go on an all-out battle. You're not really on two different sides. Once he'll be working for you, you need his powers. You're not trying to, you know, if you need 7 hours, do two. You're going to starve. Your kids, you're not living up to your responsibilities. You wrote a ksuva, you have children, you have to feed them. You need 7 hours, do two. Okay. But if your proper needs are 7 hours, right, the Mishnah is telling us you have a right and a responsibility to chop off a bit. To Mr. Panosa, you work for me. And I decide. I'm the boss, not you. You're just a means for me. I have different tachas. I have to get the Olam HaBo. Now the way through Olam HaBo is through Olam HaZeh, and part of the process of Olam HaZeh is Panosa, so you have a means. You have a place, I give you your due respect. But you have a problem. You get things to your head. You get things go into your head, Mr. Money. And you think that you're the Ike. Okay? And you come, and the responsibilities, and the Chazal, and the people, yeah? Right? Have your mind. Chop off 10 minutes. Chop off a half an hour. Some of the portion explain over here that Rav Meir, with this Mishnah, Chatam, it guarantees you won't lose from it. And that's poshut. It's poshut. Because the etzem yisoid of panasa is a responsibility of hishtadlus. Sekiv v'zeir sepecha toich alechem. And if al pi Torah you have a right to be mamayit, then you can't lose out of it. Because you only have to do it. That's not what makes it. If you think that's what makes it, so then you're back to square one with your mistakes. But if you know that this is a responsibility, and you're doing it because this is correct, this is one of your many responsibilities. You have a responsibility to daven, you have a responsibility to give eight on the Torah, you have a responsibility to do all Torah and mitzvahs, and this is one responsibility. You have to responsibility to finance your household also. It's a responsibility. Right? But if you get, you know, a petek from the source of responsibility, from the melech, from the Torah, says, no, your responsibility is to this minus, because you have to take off a little that shouldn't get out of hand. So then that's your responsibility. Once you do your responsibility, you'll get what you were supposed to get. If a person was nigzalav, they should have a certain amount of money, but Rosh Hashanah, he will have it, unless he's posheya. If he's posheya, that's on his chesh. So if he's supposed to be doing 7 hours, because that was nigzal of the right now, he's at that status in life, that's his situation, he has to work 7 hours a day. And he starts working 4 hours a day, he may starve. Nobody guarantees him that they'll get away with that. He has to have very special schuyot, very special processes to be able to make that type of drastic changes. And it may be a pshia. Famous story of Chofetz Chaim. Once Chofetz Chaim gave a drasha about the chashivas of Limud HaTorah, in the relationship of Torah and Panosa. And then one Baal Bos and Ishtar decided, okay, forget it, closed up shop, put up a sign out to lunch, and sat in the basement from the morning to night. Chofetz Chaim called him in. He says, you may be up for treason. Maybe you're up for treason. Treason? We're in an army. In an army, there's a lot of different roles to be played. Right? You have a lot of different people in an army. You have, you know, the generals, you know, big officers. You have the cook. You know, if the cook one day is going to hear, overhear while in the middle of cooking a speech that was given to officers to explain the importance of being involved in the organization and the whatever that they do over there, and the cook will say, oh, that's really important, you know, that's much better than cook. Close up shop, and he's going to say, oh, well, I'm going to start giving orders now. Okay. He's going to find himself court-martialed. You can't just change like that. Maybe you can make a request, maybe you can prove yourself, maybe you can develop that way, but you can't just switch. Say, I don't want to be a cook anymore, now I'm going to be a captain. You can't choose just to be a captain. You have to merit to be a captain. You have to be elevated to be a captain. Maybe it's not impossible that a cook should turn into a general. It doesn't happen every day. But you can't just decide it. So since you're a cook, go back to being a cook. Be a good cook. Don't speak Lashon Hara. Yeah, Musa. I'm going to be a Talmud Chacham tomorrow, slicha. You can't do that. But, so that, you don't have a right to do that. You can't just... So I have a responsibility 7 hours. Can I do 4? No, I can't. Can I do 6.5? They assigned it for us. Every Mayat, basically. It's a big Kiddush. It's a big Kiddush. Mayat from what? So, let's just spell out the Kiddush. We could have said, we could have understood, heavy mayat me'esik, we could have, in my opinion, wrongly understood, heavy mayat me'esik means, a person would be totally overly involved, and he really should have done 6 hours, and he did 14, right? So heavy mayat le'esik, do 10. No, that's not called mayat me'esik. That means al tarbe, al teshtageh, okay? The mayat means do less than what was called for. The mayat means less than. And don't get overly involved. Mayat means underly involved. Have a mayat basic. Why should we mayat basic? Why should we mayat basic? If you don't need it, if this is something, you know, you are an officer, you're not a cook, and you want to try to be a cook, I mean, get out of the kitchen. Damn it. You know, that's not your role. Get out of the kitchen. What are you doing in the kitchen? You're a cook? You're an officer. That wouldn't tell maybe my basic. We'll send him to the same court martial that we sent the cook for. Him for being an officer, him for being a cook. Get back into the officer room. But Mimayat means that there's a right that would be bigger, and I'm doing less than that. What do you do that for? So we've been here and it tells us the secret. Because Malachto has to be a right. And Malocha has a tendency. It's a very sticky thing. It has a tendency of trying to take over. If you go right all the way up to the limits, let's say if you had it shokel right, exactly right, and you cheshven out 6 hours, and you got 6 hours panos I need, if you're going to be malo ze ara soif, those six can turn into 12. Not just time-wise, but koichas and nefesh-wise, involvement, pnimi, nafshi, all the different forms of involvement, heavy mimayat. Time-wise is the easiest structurally if a person is organized in his life. Right? You can do this mamish oiske cheshmi. Chop off a piece. Most of us don't live exactly so oiske cheshmi. Don't have such an exactly. And very often the main importance for us is not necessarily the main point, time. That's easier. That's a much harder point. Much harder point is internal involvement. In order to do your job right, you better be paying attention. You gotta pay attention. The person's working for somebody. You're a painter. You're painting the walls. Right? Don't be chazering chazer shasim while you're painting the walls. Right? You know, you're going to put blue, it's supposed to be red. When you're painting the walls, think about walls. The right paint, the texture, the color. Get an insurance plan. Think about the job. Whatever your job is, you got to do it right. All right, depends who you are. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, what he thought about when he made shoes. I don't know what it means, Rabbi Yochanan, making shoes. I don't understand it. I don't know how he can do it. This one was an Eish Oichlo of Ruchnis. He was a Sefer Torah Chai. How do you make shoes? So it's posh to us that his making shoes is as much him going to be Mekayim and Mitzvah in her Torah, like an Akeda, like putting on, you know, he was doing a Mitzvah. Yeah. Why should I? Have no idea. But one thing I know for sure, as much concentration as a person needs to make shoes properly, 100%, without any cheating, he was totally involved. It's probable that Rabbi Yochanan was able to do the 100% necessary to make shoes, right, with 2% of his koyches.
About on Shmirah, same thing, on Shmirah and Sinu. On whether or not people, you know, it's a routine. You do Shmirah 4 hours a night. You know, who comes here anyway? It's always the same thing. Two people at the gate coming home. But, some people learning Mishnayos, whatever each person did. So there was some complaints. Not Shmira, right, you don't learn Mishmah. He said, yeah, but it's nothing to do with it. So we had a whole thing about it. And I remember the Aleph said, listen, if I was like on the table and you were a brain surgeon, I wouldn't want you to learn Mishnah, you know what I mean? So, you want Shmira? Shmira. Not Mishnah now. This is Shmira.
Okay. That's generally the rules, right? But, you know, sometimes I was just mentioning this, that you shouldn't have steers, right? Because there are stories, there are analogies. It doesn't always have to be worked that way. Yeah, if you're a brain surgeon, I wouldn't want to learn Mishnah, right? But if you were... without examples. Okay, I'll give you examples. There was many places in, say, Iran, hundreds and hundreds of years, that they weren't allowed to have yeshivas. So the way they got around that was that they developed the carpet industry. All of the famous Iranian carpets, the Persian carpets, is a Jewish business. It was how to make learn Torah. Persian carpets are learning Torah. How do you learn Torah? Breaking Persian carpets, the way it was explained to me, is you do the exact same motion, right, a few million times. Right? That after you learned it, it goes on automatic pilot. And you can do your job beautifully, artistically, excellently, on 3% concentration level. And the other 97% they use for learning Torah. So they would sit around everywhere with a carpet, and with the needles, and it was going, their hands were going like this. Right? It was an automatic pilot. And every 7 minutes or whatever it is that you have to change the color, so you took out 2% to change the color, and then the machine keeps going. And meanwhile, they were learning. Probably the reason Rabbi Yochanan was a sandler and not a brain surgeon. Right? Because then you can have both panosa and learn. But right, each person has to know. First thing is, you have to concentrate. Vada, concentrate. Don't cheat. Same thing, like we were saying. If you need... there we said 7 hours. Here we're talking about you need 100% concentration, then you have no right to learn Mishnayos. But most things, many things, depends what it is. Some things need 100%. Some things it's enough 80%. Some things enough 50%. Some things enough 2%. But let's say we made a right hashora. We figured it out exactly. We have the machine to measure these things, and we came out exactly. For my involvement, right, I need 80% concentration level. So and that also the mayor tells you to have your mind basically. Give it 77. Not 40. Right. If Shmira needs, I doubt if he needs 100%. But
Arabs, it's not so clear.
I don't know the situation, yeah, but right, let's say that 80% would be enough. Yeah, okay, right? Let's say, right? Giving it 20%, being in the Mishnayos and once in 10 minutes looking up, oh, anybody there, nobody there, fine. that's not going to work. That's not going to work. Get out there and walk around or whatever you're supposed to do, right? But it's very possible that... So Amir tells us the same Chiddush. You have a right to be Ma'id, basically. Now, Ma'id, Ma'id, Chashvon, here you have to be very careful. It doesn't mean be Ma'id from the responsibilities that you have to the person that you're working with or for, right? Or making your product right. That's not, that's going below the red line. But in every proper Cheshbon, you don't do the minimum that you need. The proper cheshbon of time, let's say a person needs, the absolute necessities require him, right, to work 5 hours a day. Then his proper cheshbon would be to work 6 hours a day. Because you can't, things aren't exact in this world. And from that extra, the leeway, have him in mind. Same thing with concentration levels. Okay? You can't concentrate what you really need. That you can't take anything off of. It's not your gazma. Right? You're being pushed in your job. What's absolutely necessary, you can't, and if it's 100%, then you can't take anything off. Then you gotta be totally involved. There are things that need 100%. Driving needs 100%. But you can steal off, 10%, put a tape in. Make it even better, maybe, say. There are things that you can do, that you can get away with it. You're not cheating, you're really not taking anything off. And here Rebbe Meir is telling you also, have your mind. You take off something. Why? Again, from this place. Mr. Business, Mr. You don't own me, I own you. I have my responsibilities. I have responsibility to my work. I have responsibility to whoever I'm working for. Vada. We're not talking about taking down from your the absolute necessities. But from the leeway, from the extra, which is supposed to be there,
Rav Meir is giving us the rights and the responsibility. Heaven may. And the third level, and this we'll stop with for this. That's enough. You can go on, but that's enough. One thing we talked about, time. We talked about concentration level b'shas while a person's involved. Now we'll talk about the third one. There is emotional, psychological, brain waves. How much time is your brain thinking about your work? Not necessarily on the job. Daige. How much heart are you putting into it? So again, there is a proper application. There's a proper application. A person has to take his life seriously. If he has a store, he has to give it his proper due consideration. Right? He has to be involved maybe in finding out where you get the price of milk, where you get milk from. I don't know. But when you close the store, and you put the lock on, and you finish for the day, right? How much do you have to carry it with you? This is the most dangerous level. This is the most important level. Because there, the rightful involvement is very, very minimal. And the natural, if you don't pay attention, people are extremely overly involved after the job, beyond the job, at night and sleep, when they get up, when they get in the morning, in the middle of Shemini Esrei. Day, night, they eat it, they sleep it, they drink it, they get up in the morning. The outside involvement, the heart involvement, the mind involvement, the talking about it, the learning about it, thinking about it, doing about it, all of that, most of the time is way out of proportion to what's called for. And where does it come from? It's not needed, so what are you doing it for? Some of it is needed, but usually people off by like 150% or something. Okay. So there's a 50% there that you need. A 30% of what you're doing that you need. But how do you get up to 150? Why so much? Why are you so involved? Why do you get up in the morning? Somebody asks you why you're taking a shower, think about it. Somebody asks another shmoneh esrei, think about it. Somebody asks you before you go to sleep while you're in the middle of a mapple, think about it. Answer is because it's taking control of the center point of your heart. And a person never leaves his essence. A person never leaves life. If I am a doctor, is my life, I will sleep it, eat it, think it, get up in the morning a doctor, go to sleep at night a doctor. I will drink doctor in breakfast, and I will sleep doctor at night. This is the hardest and most important. Chat. Oh. This is like a bronco horse. You know, it's not a little tap to keep on back. You gotta really bang at him to get him back straight. He says, 1 minute. Says, 1 minute. Let's get straight. Who's working for who? I work to live. I live to work. How do you know how does it work? I am to be a doctor. I'm a doctor to be. Well, where does it start? Where does it end? Here, a stick. A bigger stick. Thicker stick, and you gotta hit hard. Here you gotta hit the heart, you gotta hit the horse hard, put him in his place, have your mind basic. This mind may not be 2%, this mind may be 150%. This is a very, very hard. Really, the only way to succeed here is changing attitude. As long as the attitude doesn't change, it'll keep creeping up on you whether you like it or not. And then you're in a war. You want to think about davening, and then the store comes into your head. You want to think about davening, the store comes into your head. And you have to be banging him. I want to see Shmoneh Esrei. So now I have three things to think about. I want to think about Shmoneh Esrei, and the store's coming to my head, and now I'm in the middle of banging him out of my head. So I'm still not thinking about Shmoneh Esrei, I'm thinking about banging him out of my head. I got him out of my head. Yeah, but you finished Shmoneh Esrei. What about davening? Yeah, I won. Yeah. I won. I didn't think about the store. The whole Shmoneh Esrei. Fine, but did you daven? No. I was too busy banging the store out of my head. And same thing with learning, and same thing with interpersonal relationships. We all do it. Yeah? We all have children, wives, relatives, friends. Person comes, you're talking in conversation, maybe a problem that he has talking. And all of a sudden, like, you find yourself talking to the wall. Let's talk about when we do it to the other guy. And you come, you're telling him, You're not here, are you? Huh? Where are you? Are you in the store? Huh? You really don't want to hear about you're involved in your problems. You don't hear about my problems. Have you made the Esek? Your problems is Esek. My problems is mitzvahs to you. Have you made it in your Esek, not somebody else's Esek? G'dayl and Yisrael were give Esek in business. I don't know how they did. I don't know how they knew, but okay, that's the Chochma Soter that gave him das and all in your name. But why should they get involved? Because he's involved, right? And if his Esek is for me, I'm mitzvah. But my Esek is not mitzvah for him. So when you come speak to me, and I have my Esek on mind, so I'm not listening to you. A lot of fights that go on in interpersonal relationships come from misunderstandings. Why are there so many misunderstandings? One of the reasons why there's so many misunderstandings is because people aren't listening. You said that. No, I didn't. You said this. I didn't say that. A lot of times, it's simply, it didn't hear. You really didn't hear. You did say it. You didn't hear it. You never said that. So, yeah, I told it to you. I never said that. He thinks he's a liar. She thinks he's a liar. This one said it. That one didn't listen. Went right past him. Didn't even go in one ear, not the other. Then went in. The ear was blocked with his Esek. Whatever his Esek is. Heavy mind base. Heavy mind base. So we got through three words. It's not bad. It's time to hear something. Heavy mind base. That's a big zach. Heavy mind base. So here we got the heavy mind basic. And I think that we hear the rai. We hear both the relationship between the two, the common denominator, but maybe not repeating. May I told us a whole new Yisoy. If I just heard Shatasim Lachtaka Arai, I wouldn't yet know that I can take off a piece. I wouldn't know this Yisoy is putting in place. So May I come and told us an Oymik. May is going to be Oymik again. Maybe my Pesach. You know what that Mechayev you to do? My Pesach. Right, but it's a nice place.